Thank you so much for all of the prayers and concerns for the American Baptist churches, your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a privilege to be part of a large family and to know that you're being prayed for, especially as you are in search of a pastor. Things have changed, and we'll be talking to the search committee about the changes. But one of the things that has not changed is God's faithfulness. If you take your Bibles this morning, or you're going to put it up over the head, Frank, thank you. Let me begin to read for you the scriptures. Beginning in Ephesians 1st chapter, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your grace toward us. I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son for us. I thank you that in Jesus Christ we have experienced life and new life, and that you have called us as your people to live out that life in the world in which we live today, so that others might see Christ living in us. I pray, Heavenly Father, this day as we open your word, your spirit would attend, so that even in the poor, fallible words of a preacher, words of life be found. For we ask it in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in that passage of Scripture, points to Jesus Christ as the head of the church and head over all things. He'll pick up on that theme in other pastoral epistles where he'll say to you, and if you read his text, he will say that Jesus Christ is the firstborn over all creation and also the firstborn from the dead, so that he has supremacy over all things. For everything that has been created by him, for him, and through him. It's meant to serve him. And everything that has happened in the resurrection has been meant to bring the world which has fallen into a sinful discord back into harmony with God. And the way that takes place is through Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection in the life, who is transforming us, making us fit for God's heaven, changing us and recreating us in the very image of Christ Jesus, and then we'll recreate the whole creation to be a new heaven and a new earth. And God is actively at work in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And one thing we do not highlight nearly enough is how Jesus Christ carries out his mission in the world. We know him to be the head of the church, but oftentimes there's a disconnect. It's as though there's a head and we don't pay much attention to it. We honor our head, we give thanks to the head, but we don't see how Christ works that out so that we are connected to that head and that what we do is in line with what he did. And oftentimes at Christmas, we talk about the threefold office of Christ, but very rarely after that do we pick it up. And when I talk about the threefold office of Christ, I talk about him being prophet and priest and king. The Apostle Paul touches on that order and says the way by which Christ ministers in the world today, The way by which he makes his presence known is as a priest and as a prophet and as a king. And because we have been joined with Christ, filling the prayer of John 17, that they may be one even as the Father and I are one, we have been joined into being a priesthood, to being prophetic, and to being ambassadors of a kingdom. So that what Christ has accomplished in that threefold office actually flows out to us and therefore gives us instructions about who we are and what we ought to be doing in the world. Because we know what Jesus did and is doing, that informs us what we must do. Paul tells us that he hopes that the Spirit will give you eyes to see what those three offices are and how they get worked out. The first is that you might know the hope to which he has called you. In Jesus Christ's priestly office, not only was he the one who offered the sacrifice to God, who stood in our place, who offered to God a sacrifice that would be pleasing to him so that our lives would be changed and transformed, he was also the very sacrifice that was given. It was his life that was sacrificed in order that our life would be spared. It was his life that was given to us, and therefore, every time we come together, we're aware of the fact that Christ, as our priest, stands in a mediatorial role between us and the Father, interceding for us, giving to us all that he had accomplished through his own shed blood in order that we might be changed and transformed. And therefore, Paul tells us, as his priesthood, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship. Which means I have the privilege of acting on behalf of Jesus Christ, his hands and feet in the world, as being part of his priesthood, which means when we come to church, I have the privilege of listening to your heart. I have the privilege of hearing what God has placed on your heart. I will tell you, I learned this from my mother. My mother, when she would come to church, people would say to her, or she would say to people, how are you doing? And Mrs. So-and-so would say, oh, do you have a minute? And she would tell her. You know, going to church, you usually never ask somebody how they're feeling or how they're doing because we expect people to tell you. Now, when I was a kid, I had stood with my mother. She'd have my hand and holding it. And I learned discipleship from my mother because I was wanting to get on with my friends and I didn't want to have to listen to what she was going through. And every time I pulled a little bit more, Mom squeezed my hand, which meant this is important. This is why we're here. We have been called the priesthood, which means we take upon ourselves the burdens of others. Jesus told us that Paul told us that we're to share one another's joys and also bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And when we come together, just as you prayed this morning for the people in the church, there are also burdens that have gone unspoken, but somebody may seek you out this morning to share with you what's on their heart. And what's on their heart is something that's important to them that you cannot ignore. That as a priest before God, just as Jesus Christ listens to our prayer, you listen to what they are telling you so that you might make it a matter of prayer on your behalf, but also that you might speak the words of grace. God loves you. He understands and will provide for you. I will pray for you. And Jesus Christ hears our prayers because he's our priest. And we make known to him what is on our hearts. And so we have the chance to be a priesthood of believers when we act as that person or those persons who listen in to the hurts and concerns of the world and then bear them to our Savior. Not only do we do that in church, but it's interesting, sometimes it happens in the grocery stores among neighbors. Sometimes it happens at the gas station. Sometimes it happens in Walmart. Sometimes you don't know where it's going to happen. But you have been called to serve as that priesthood of all believers, not only bearing your own sin toward Christ, saying to him, forgive me for what you do, because he who is faithful forgives us our sin, but to bear with others their sins, their shortcomings. You know, I can make an excuse for all of you people as to why you behave the way you do. I can't make an excuse for myself. I did it because I wanted to do it. I did it because I needed to do it. It felt good to do it. But I can make and bear you by saying, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on in their life, but I want to present them to you. And as priests, we have that opportunity to make our life a life of service, of being instruments to others, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ. That came because we saw in Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and the way he cares for us and the way he loves us. Love one another as I have loved you. The hope that we have in Christ is never a wish. Well, I hope you get better. I hope you get the job. Those are wishes. The hope that we have is the deposit of the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee for us that Christ has accomplished for us. He has fulfilled for us. He has forgiven us, and our sins are no more. The indwelling of the Spirit teaches us to pay attention to the promptings of our Savior. And so we grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. As we move with God, as we move as his priests in the world, God transforms us into his image and likeness, and we begin to find people who are attracted to the grace you provide. In every church, there are always several folks who are just like magnets for prayer concerns. People go to them. And I've often wondered, what's the attraction? And I know what the attraction is. It's never judgment. It's always listening. It's always gratitude. And it's always a word of encouragement as they go. And so we need to grow in these things. We need to dedicate ourselves so that there's just not a handful in the church, but every member of the church acts as God's priest in the world. So that when somebody comes into church who's not part of the church, recognizes God's grace is among you and confesses their sin and finds in here a healing balm, for we take that person directly to our Savior and say, there's where you find strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Jesus Christ is our hope, so that you might know the hope. The way you learn how to understand Christ's heart is by acting like Christ and allowing him to change your heart. So that as you confess your shortcomings, as you plead for his patience and grace, he listens to those prayers and he adjusts the heart and changes the heart and determines a new way of being. That's the priesthood of all believers that we so often talk about, but not often worked out. We need to be able to be that people who represent our great high priest. The second thing he says is that you might know the inheritance of the saints. And in the inheritance of the saints, we have the privilege of sharing God's word with each other. Every time we come together, aren't you glad you're here for church today? We have the opportunity to be in the very presence of God. His Spirit attends to us so that Jesus Christ is among us, and we share his word, and in sharing his word, we gain to know more about who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. The reason we come to church is not simply to give back to Christ the praise and honor and glory of his name. We have come to learn about Jesus. For the head of the church is Christ. And everything about Jesus is that which is important for his people to know. And we have been given the privilege not only to know more about Jesus, to learn more about Jesus, but then to share Jesus with our friends and family. I can tell you, I know something to be absolutely true. If nothing else is true, this is true. Jesus died on a cross and he loves you. Because that's what he's told me. When I come to church, I hear wonderful things about Jesus that need to be shared with a world that is despondent and in despair. They need to know the hope that we have because Jesus has told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. I can teach you who Jesus is because Jesus has taught me who he is. And you can teach people who Jesus is because you have taught. Steve Green had a wonderful line. Cuts me to the quick every time I hear it. He's a great musician. Except if you listen to his songs, they get a little bitey. He says to the church, how can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, when the opportunity comes for us to testify of what Christ has done for us, may you not be found lacking. May you say, I know Jesus because I have been with Jesus. Not, I wish I could tell you more, but I'm not a pastor. You're not a pastor. You're part of the royal prophetic office of Jesus Christ. What he has told you, you tell. You don't have to come up with something new. Dave and I know this because we've made a career of this. All we have to tell you is what that book says. We don't come up with something new. We come up with something new, you've got to be worried. We're coming up with an old story of Jesus and his love. And all we're doing is telling you that story. And for those of you who have heard it for the first time, it will thrill your heart. But if you've heard it over and over and over and over, it grows richer, fuller, deeper. Because that's who Jesus is. And we find nuances in the word. Opportunities to see our Lord and Savior in different light, getting to know him by his grace even all the more. And so we tell the old story because those who know the story want it told because it is the story that has changed their life. It's a story that needs to be told again. And as that prophetic office of Jesus, we simply tell them what Jesus told us. And then you are royal ambassadors, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who owns all things, who rules over all things, has made you his ambassadors in the world. And Paul prays that the power of the resurrection might be let loose in your life so that you can go with the authority of Jesus Christ into the highways and the byways of life, telling people that your yes should be yes and your no should be no, that we know who Christ is because of what he's accomplished for us, and therefore the world is ordered not according to our dictates and not according to the politicians of the world, but according to the King of the world. Incidentally, if anybody wants to know in this election season, if there's a king in America, I will tell you there is a king in America, and he trumps the president. I don't care who the president is. His name is Jesus Christ. And before him, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And when we carry out the ambassadorship, we do such radical things as stand here in Sunday morning and say to the world, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody else is second. Jesus Christ is first. And so we make it our aim to please him. There are certain practices that no longer take place because I am an ambassador for the king. Your speech needs to be seasoned with salt. There can be no coarse joking. Encourage one another with hymns and spiritual songs and singing. All of those things testify that the world has changed because Jesus Christ is king. And therefore, we owe him our allegiance, but we call everyone, everything under his headship. Be so bold as to say to the birds, sing, because Jesus is king. Be so bold to say to your dog, howl, in praise and adoration to the one who gives you life. Say to your own soul in prayer, Lord, I offer myself to you. The breath you gave me, I give back to you. And I ask that you would take these concerns that I've laid at your feet and answer them according to your will and purpose. For you are trustworthy. You are good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. You have promised to bring to completion that which you started in me. I offer myself so that your name would be honored and glorified. Jesus Christ rules over his church as prophet, priest, and king. And because of that, we've been called to a priesthood, we've been called to a prophetic office, and we have been called as ambassadors of his kingdom. Paul wants the church to be alive in the world and directive of the world, not to be reacting to the world, but to be proactive in the world, in order that Christ might be seen as among us, that Christ might be seen as Savior and Lord, that Christ might receive the due that is due his name. For no one has ever loved us like Jesus. No one has given to us what Jesus has given to us. No one has told us what Jesus has told us. And no one has kept us as Jesus has kept us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. By your grace we've come, Father. We pray for our own understanding of the roles you've called us to. We confess to you that living in the world apart from you has caused us to have some confusions in our mind, some disorientations in our mind. We have lived so long our way that we have forgotten any way you have taught us, but teach us again fresh and new. Help us to remember that we are living sacrifices. We are to give ourselves to you, and we give ourselves by serving others in your name, so that they might be experiencing your grace. Help us to always speak the word to one another. Nothing encourages us more than to know of your love for us and to know what you've said to us. May we search the scriptures to hear and learn more about Jesus, so that we can have an in-depth understanding of which we can then teach others to come and see that the Lord is good. And then, Heavenly Father, as kingdom people, but a people of the resurrection, help us to realize it is no longer I who live, but it is now Christ who lives within me, that we might live and serve in this world fully aware of your authority and your power that is at work in our life. Give us boldness, Heavenly Father, to step into those places and redeem them through Jesus Christ, so that others might see your living power in our life. Know, Heavenly Father, that we love you because you first loved us. For we ask all this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Our hymn is hymn number